Jesus said, "You shall know the truth. Truth shall set you free." So it's really a matter of what you believe. What you believe will determine what you receive, and what you receive will determine what you live, right? Or how you live. Hallelujah. Because you're going to live according to your beliefs. Somebody believe that. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And wow, can you believe it's already December? Time is just flying. And I hope you all been enjoying the snow. Yeehaw. That didn't sound very enthusiastic, but the cool thing about the snow is, like, and once in a while for me, because I'm from New England, so I know all about snow, and that's why I like the Northwest, but is how quiet it gets. It just blankets everything, and it makes it's pretty, and it's quiet, you know. It's just nice. It's calming, you know. But how many know that we need snow and we need rain, right? There's a lot of, is it nitrogen, I think, in the snow that is good for the soil and helps the crops. And so there's good in snow, amen, besides the beauty of it. I always tell people that you don't have to shovel rain, you know, so that's the good thing about the Northwest. But once in a while, you got to get out there and shovel the rain because it got a little too cold, right? But anyways, it just, back in New England, this is an average day. I mean, a couple inches of snow, you just go to work, do your thing. But they're not quite as prepared out in this neck of the woods. So anyways, how's everybody doing this morning? All right. You're supposed to say that, right? Yeah. So I hope you are. I remember, I say this a lot, but I had a friend, a dear mentor really of mine, brother in the Lord, who would tell me, "You don't have dark days because you have the light." And you know, since Christ has come in, since the Lord has been in my life, in my heart, you know, I always remember that I have light, no matter how dark it may appear. We don't have darkness when we have the light of Christ in us. We have to learn how to turn our eyes upon the Lord, amen, who is our light. He doesn't want us to live by sight, by how things appear, but by faith in his faithfulness to always be there, to always make a way. You need wisdom. He has all the wisdom you need. Amen. You need strength for your day. He is the strength of your life. And the Lord wants his people to have his joy. And once again, guys, if we could learn how to please the Lord and put a smile on his face, you have joy in your own heart. How many know we should, amen, bring an offering of gratitude, of praise to the Lord, amen? And we should live in that attitude of gratitude every day. And so we should not allow what's happening externally to influence us internally, because internally we can have communion with the Lord, and the Lord is the strength of our life. And how many know that the one, the Christ living on the inside of us, amen, the living one in us, is greater than he that's in the world? I really believe that. But the devil uses lies. He deceives our minds. He gets in there and he sows lies to try to get us to doubt what God has promised. We are children of promise. We are to believe, amen? And what you believe will determine what you receive. Now, 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I love that verse. The word destroy refers to the act of untying or unloosing something. So the Lord came to untie us, to release us from bondage of the devil. Amen. Jesus wants everyone set free from the power of Satan. He wants everyone set free from the power of sin. And that's what the cross is all about. Jesus purchased our salvation, our freedom. He bought us out of debtor's prison. Amen. He paid the price that we deserve to pay to break us free from the bondage of Satan. Amen. And of sin. And so God has already dealt with the sin problem. He's already dealt with the Satan problem. Amen. But it will be depending upon what you believe. Amen. What you believe will determine what you're able to receive. For without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. Amen. For those who come to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He has made me glad. I find that when I make the Lord glad, he makes me glad. When I come with an offering to bless God, amen, then I get blessed. Hallelujah. But we should not come with selfish motives before the king. Amen. You don't come before a king except with a gift or an offering. Amen. You come with a gift before the King of Kings. Amen. And what do we come with today? We come with thanksgiving. We come with gratitude. We come with praise. Amen. We come as an offering of ourselves back to God as a living sacrifice. Amen. We offer our bodies back to him for his service. Hallelujah. And so the enemy has been defeated. I want to just touch on this again today, but that's the title of the message. The enemy has been defeated. If people do not know that, if they do not believe that, then they will not receive the benefits of what Jesus has already accomplished for us on the cross. The cross was a victory. Jesus has all authority in where? Heaven and on earth. So he said, go therefore in my name, represent me. I've got your back. I've authorized you to go in my name and enforce in the earth what I've already accomplished for you at the cross. The enemy's been defeated. The enemy only has deception and lies to work with, and he's pretty good at it. If he can get in our head, if we allow him to do that, he will start sow seeds of doubt in us to get us to doubt that God is who he says he is or that God will do what he said he would do. Then he already defeats us. How many know you defeat an enemy? First of all, if you can destroy the morale of your enemy, you've already pretty much won the battle. And so the enemy uses psychological warfare to try to defeat the enemy before a shot's ever fired. To try to get them to doubt that they have the capability of defeating this enemy. And so they use psychological operations. When I was up on the demilitarized zone, they had these speakers blasting 24/7 in Korea, you know. And they were saying, come on over here, you know, it's much better here. And they were, it's just constant propaganda being pumped up there. And we had, believe it or not, a couple people that actually bought it and went over there. Ended up becoming captured, of course. But they have this thing, it's a fake city. It's nothing but a facade. Freedom Village. And it's all one side and it faces towards the south. And so people look at it and say, wow, it looks like it's really nice over there. And that was before now, of course, with the internet and the ways that people are getting in and seeing little sneaking cameras in there and find out what's really going on, you know, on the ground. But they would use propaganda to try to deceive the minds of people. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same devil, amen, that's been operating in America, amen, through the media and around the world to try to control the masses through false information. Have you heard that word lately? And it's interesting, sometimes the ones that are propagating the false information are using that term as if you're the ones propagating the false information. So they call the truth a lie and the lie a truth, right? They're calling evil good and good evil. And so we need to know what the truth is so that we will not be duped by the lie. And so the enemy is going to try to rob you of receiving the truth of God's word. Amen. So that he can continue to operate in the areas of darkness. When the entrance of the word comes in, amen, it lights up the darkness and we become aware of what's really happening, of what's really going on, not the way things appear, but what's really happening. Some people can dress up and look very pretty, but internally they could be very corrupt. Amen? And so sometimes people are duped by the appearances of people. And sometimes they may seem like such a nice, gentle sheep kind of person, you know, but inside they're actually a ravening wolf. And so the enemy is a master of deception. And in order to defeat him, we have to know what's true. Because the battle that we're engaged in is a truth battle. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what set you free. You will no longer be captured by the lies of your adversary. And so the enemy is effectively deceiving the minds of people by keeping them ignorant to the word of God and what God actually says. That's why he hates the Bible. That's why he wanted the Bible out of the schools. Amen. That's why he doesn't want your children being taught the word of God. Because he knows that if the love of Christ doesn't master them, the world will. But the Lord came to unloose or untie, to release the captives from bondage who were captured by sin, amen, to Satan. Naturally, we were born tied up, if you will. We were born bound. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be set free. Amen. And when we receive and hear the message of the truth, the light comes on. And we realize that there is a Savior. There is a Deliverer. There is someone who is there who can liberate my soul. And the power of God is able, amen, to break every stronghold, to demolish every demonic opposition. Hallelujah. Jesus came to untie or unloose Satan's binding power over us. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, dunamis, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. What did he do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppressed means to exercise dominion against. So the enemy was using dominion over, humanity until Jesus came and stripped him of his ability to do so. Amen. But if people do not know that freedom is available, because if the enemy can keep a person ignorant to the fact that Jesus has already defeated him, then that person will continue to live bound. Even if they claim to be a Christian, they can live bound if they don't really believe or know or understand what is true. So in the areas where we lack the light or the knowledge of God, the enemy can camp out and he can work his dirty business. Amen. So we need God's mercy. We need his help. We need his grace. We need to know what is true, what is authentic, not what appears to be, but what actually is the truth. We've all made decisions based upon appearance. Something looked good. And so we made a decision to partake of that thing because it appeared to be a good thing. But actually it was death. When we were sinners by nature, we were slaves to Satan. We were under his dominion. We were under his rule. So it was natural for us to live in sin because we were sold under it. In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say, what? Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." So Jesus came to change all that. He came to liberate us from the power, amen, and the penalty of sin, the power of Satan. And Jesus wants every person to know what's been accomplished on our behalf and what's available to us freely through Christ. The Lord wants his people to be free indeed. He doesn't want his people walking around bound up. Amen. When he's already dealt with that problem, he's already defeated your enemy. So there's no reason that we should be walking around bound up by the enemy. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we receive the truth and we receive it to the point where we now believe what we're hearing, amen, then the power of God's word can be effective in our lives and breaking down every stronghold of the enemy within us. God wants every thought to be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Our minds need to be renewed. We need to know what is true so that we can avoid the lie. So Jesus came to rescue us from slavery and make us into sons and daughters. We go on, John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, "And we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." So when you're in the world thinking, "I'm living it up, I'm partying hardy," you know, you're actually a slave. You're not a free person. You're actually captured by your adversary who hates your guts. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy your life. How many can agree he's doing a pretty good job today on many people? Amen. Even in our own lives, we can see the effects of sin when we've made those stupid decisions. Amen. To follow that voice. But they said, we are by ancestry, by, you know, the fact that, you know, we're descendants of Abraham in the natural. Therefore, we're not in bondage to anyone. But Jesus is saying, you don't even have any idea, but you're all born sinful, separated, in bondage to the enemy. The enemy had you wrapped up, amen, corded up, and they weren't aware of that because in themselves, people were trying to be righteous. They were trying to be good enough to be acceptable to God. The problem is that every one of us have sinned and fallen short, amen. So no matter how many good things you've done, it's that one sin that can condemn you. And the purpose of the law, again, was what? To bring us to Christ. To point out the fact that we're all sinful. We've all fallen short. So we would turn to the only one who could save us. To the only one who paid the debt that we deserve to pay. So we could be let out of debtor's prison, amen? And be liberated by the truth that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. That Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And therefore, we can walk in the freedom of Christ because he's already defeated the enemy. But we have to understand that reality. People who have been told all their life, "Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you'll never amount to anything." Over and over again. People will be assigned an identity that the enemy wants to put on them that may not be true. But if they listen long enough, they'll start to believe the lie, and then they'll start to act according to the lie. They'll start to live the lie. They'll start to accept an identity that is not true. And that's what we're seeing today is a major identity problem, aren't we? People don't know who they are. And you can't know who you are unless you know your Creator. You want to know what perfect looks like? You want to know what normal looks like? Look at Jesus. But Jesus said in verse 35, "A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what? Free indeed." We all know that one. So he's saying as long as you're a slave, you don't have access to the Father's house. As long as you're bound up in sin, amen, you're not free to enter into the Father's presence. You and I, apart from Christ, are not righteous, and therefore we are not qualified to come into his presence. There's only one way that we can come into his presence, and that is through the righteousness of Christ, and that is through the blood that he shed for us. Amen. It is only through the blood of Christ that we can with confidence come before the Father today, not based upon my goodness, but based upon his goodness. My confidence is not in my ability, but in God's righteousness. Amen. And I come to him because I know that I need him, and I know that I need his help. I know that I need his strength in order to overcome myself and overcome this world. Because you and I, apart from Christ, are no match for the devil. But Jesus has overcome him. And he wants every one of his children to walk in that freedom. Hallelujah. In Colossians 2:15, it's talking about our victory over sin that was won by the Lord at the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. And that word disarmed Disarmed refers to the act of stripping one's garments off to the point of complete nakedness. So it's saying that Jesus has stripped down the enemy completely. All right? And because he has stripped him, he is now parading him, even as enemies long ago, as they would have a victory over their enemy, amen? When they'd be in a war, they'd have a victory. They would have a victory celebration. They would have a parade. And they often would humiliate their enemies, even their enemies' kings, and strip them down completely naked. And then they would have a march down the lane, if you will, down the street. And they would be shouting praises to the victors as they sported, okay, those who had been defeated and those who had been stripped were the ones that were defeated. So that's the kind of picture we get here, that Jesus has disarmed or stripped completely these principalities and powers. All right? Because of the cross, amen, because of his obedience to the Father, because Jesus lived the sinless life, he was then qualified to be the sacrificial lamb that God could then take the sins of the world and place upon him, amen. That means the iniquity of us all was placed upon Jesus, amen, so that we could be forgiven and those sins would no longer be held against us. Jesus became our substitute. It was for us that he died to liberate us, amen, from our enemy, hallelujah. And Jesus stripped him of his authority and made a spectacle, an open spectacle of our enemy. Hallelujah. So there's a grand celebration. I want to just talk about spiritual warfare for a little bit here. We need to always remember, it's what Christ has done for us and not what we do for him. We serve the Lord out of gratitude for what he's done for us. Amen. Everyone should be loving God back. Amen. Giving their lives back to him out of appreciation to serve the Lord. Amen. But remember, it was because of what the Lord did for us. This is what we rejoice in. We rejoice in the cross. We rejoice in the victory, amen, that the Lord has won for us and on our behalf, amen. But there's a thing that we need to understand, is that spiritual warfare, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on when it comes to spiritual warfare today. And I say, guys, we are in a battle. Would you agree? And the Bible says that we are wrestling against principalities and powers. Okay. So we know that there are enemies, spiritual enemies, that surround us. But the way to overcome your spiritual enemies, amen, is not based upon what you do, but understanding what Christ has already done on your behalf. In other words, I need to come to the place where I now realize and receive the truth that I am set free from the power of sin and from the power of Satan. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God through the new birth. Amen. And God has authorized me to enforce that in my life and in the life of others. Because if you don't know the truth, you'll continue to live in bondage to the lie. The reason why people are living defeated lives is because they don't know the truth, or they don't acknowledge it, or they don't act upon the truth when they hear it. They're not doers of the word, they're hearers only. We have to begin with the understanding of what Jesus has already accomplished for us. Because if we don't start there, we're going to struggle and possibly be defeated in our minds. Our confidence must be in the truth, not in my ability to be a good Christian. I've seen a lot of people that were self-confident in their own ability to be a good Christian. I've been there before. Have you? You start doing good, you start getting self-confident. And now you're falling from grace, because grace comes to the humble who realize I can't without him. When we're self-confident, we won't pray. We don't think meeting together with God's people is that important when we're self-confident. We don't believe, we believe obedience to God is an option when we're self-confident. God doesn't want us to be self-confident. He wants our confidence to be in him, and he is the truth. We need to believe what God has said. We need to apply it in our lives. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not boasting in all my personal accomplishments in life, all the things that I've accomplished, all my past, you know, deeds. He said, I count all of that as rubbish, that I may know Christ. He says, I'm only going to rejoice in the fact that the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I rejoice in the Lord Jesus. He had no confidence in his education or his own cleverness or his power or his willpower or myself. As soon as we start to put confidence in our own willpower, we start to fall into defeat again. I say this a lot because we have to really come to the place where we understand that the only way for us to live in the victory that Christ has accomplished for us is to divorce ourselves from relying upon ourselves. Amen. We have to basically quit looking at ourselves as the agent of salvation. Because we can get proud even when it comes to spiritual battle or spiritual warfare. You know, we may think we're a spiritual giant, but apart from Christ, we're all weak. Amen. And we need to also ask the question, is this technique or the way that they're going about their so-called spiritual warfare, does it have any confirmation in Scripture? Does Scripture prove any of this? Is this something that you see the apostles doing? Do you see Jesus doing any of this stuff? We're dealing with principalities and powers, amen? But how many know that there are certain echelons of authority that belong to the Lord? If you look throughout the Scripture, you see how God works with people. You have to understand God's ways, amen? God's ways are, listen, I will break the back of your enemy. I will snap his neck. I will deal with your enemy, amen? If you will repent. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Guys, I want to see America liberated. And we should be involved politically, I believe so. We should be doing what we can, amen, to make a difference. But guys, listen, what is really required here is the church to return to the Lord. The church to return to its first love. The church to turn away from sin. The church to repent of its evil ways. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm not saying it as applied to everybody here. I'm just saying that there's a lot of compromise going on, and we're wondering why it's not working. How many know that God does not bless a mess? God's waiting for us, amen, to get into position so he can bless us again. And that means I have to turn away from my sin and quit making excuses for it. I cannot have victory in my own life if I'm compromising with the devil. Come on, somebody. God wants to intervene in America. God wants to turn things around in America. But God's saying, like he did to ancient Israel, you need to repent and put away your idols. When you get into obedience, then I will deal with your enemy. He said, I will intervene. I will deal with the enemy. You see, a lot of times we're trying in our own strength and our own cleverness and our own wisdom and our own political strategies to somehow defeat a spiritual enemy that's behind all this mess. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's not of us. It's of God. Amen. God is the victor, and God is the one that will bring the victory. Amen. But if we as his people will repent and get right with him, amen, then God will intervene, God will forgive, God will heal our land. Is it making sense today? Am I speaking truth? Paul is saying, I'm no match for the enemy. I can't put my confidence in myself. If you're going to live free, you can't have anything to do with the devil. Amen. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. You see, the devil's attacks on our lives will not work if our flesh doesn't cooperate. Do you understand? The enemy can't touch you unless you start cooperating in your flesh. Yeah? The enemy cannot touch you unless you give him permission through compromise. Amen. In other words, he has to have permission to get into your life as a child of God. So he uses deception. He uses lies. He tries to sow a thought in your life. Amen. So that you start to agree with that lie and often even start to articulate that lie and then give him license to operate. Because in Christ, you have already been set free. But you have to enforce that victory by cooperating with the Holy Spirit every day and not giving any place to the devil. It begins with you and I as individuals. And then, amen, it will translate into our nation being saved. You see, we can get up on our soapbox as Christians and we can criticize all the evil, and I hate it too. But it's not going to change until we change. It's not going to change until the church gets right with God. That's what God's looking at. God's got his eye on his bride. He wants a pure people. He wants a pure bride. He wants us holy. Amen. When we get into position because we have repented and humbled ourselves before God and we are now obeying God, now we're in position for the blessing of God and for freedom in our walk. We don't have to live bound by Satan. We don't have to live bound by sin because the power of that has been broken already. We simply enforce what Christ has done and we discipline, like Paul said, our bodies. We make them our servants and we refuse to give ourselves over to immorality. We refuse to give ourselves over to sin. Amen? And because God gives us the ability by the power of his Spirit and his word, amen, to behave ourselves and not give any place to the devil, because if you give place to him, he's going to take advantage of that. And a lot of guys, I've had people upset with me over this before, but that's all right. I'm going to speak the truth anyways. But in America, we like to point fingers at them over there and that group over there and what those people are doing over there. You know, it all begins with me taking a look at my own life and say, well, how is it with my heart? You know, Lord, how is it between us? Because we can all get up on our self-righteous soap operas sometimes. Come on, and compare ourselves with those people over there. How many know if it wasn't for the mercy of God, you'd still be part of those people over there? I used to be part of those people over there. Amen. But by the mercy of God, he forgave me. But I had to come to a place where I would repent. Amen. And be sorry enough, godly sorrow. Amen. To where I actually quit doing it. And I came to the Lord for grace to enforce that in my life so I wouldn't have to go back into it again. Because for a long time, I was on a roller coaster ride, amen, of being in victory and then falling and then victory and then falling until I realized I have to surrender my life to Jesus every day. And he gives me the grace to live holy. It's not of me, it's of him. You know, some people, they just get caught up in the devil this, the devil that. Well, if you get a hold of your flesh, get a hold of that sin nature, amen, by the power of the Spirit, bring that part of you under submission, amen, to the Spirit of God, amen, then the devil has no place in you. He can't touch you. I've seen some very spiritual people. Very spiritual people, but they live an unclean life. So they're not really spiritual, are they? You can be very demonstrative and charismatic and outgoing, and you can swing from chandeliers and lift your hands and dance around in the Spirit, if you will. But how are you living your life day to day? We have to be careful about engaging in any kind of spiritual practice that's not found in or supported by Scripture. Instead of constantly going around rebuking Satan and speaking to principalities, simply submit your body and soul to God. And he can't touch you. You understand? You got people who are not obeying the Spirit of God, but they're going around rebuking Satan. Why? Well, the reason the devil's tormenting you and bothering you all the time is because there's something that's not right. So what's the answer? James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Subordinate, obey, or place yourself under obedience to God is what that means. Place yourself under obedience to God and what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the solution. Submit yourself, place yourself under obedience to God, amen, and then you resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. He has no legal right anymore to torment you, to mess with you, because you're in obedience to the Spirit of God. We do wrestle against these principalities, amen. But we do it by standing in the truth of God's Word. Jesus defeated Satan with the Word, amen. And because Satan had no place in the Lord, he could not get the Lord to compromise, and therefore he could not touch him. And so the enemy had to leave because he was just wasting his time. Do you understand? The devil, I've said it a lot, but the devil is smart enough to know that if he doesn't have an audience with you, he's just going to leave. Resist him, he'll flee from you. And that word resist really means to stand your ground. Stand firm in your convictions. What you know as God has showed you is right. You stand firm. Amen. And you pray, God, grant me grace to stand and not compromise. Amen. So I'm not giving any permission to the enemy and giving him any access into my life. A lot of people get delivered from demons simply by repentance. Simply by coming to God and say, Lord, forgive me for what I did. Or Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. And then as they take a step of obedience, and God liberates them from the tormentors that were in their life because they refused to forgive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people are obsessed with the enemy. They're always going around talking to this, Satan, that. How about let's turn our eyes upon Jesus, amen? And let's, by the grace of God, control ourselves, amen, and submit to God in obedience to what you know the Lord expects of you, amen? And then the enemy has no place in you. He can't touch you. Amen. Remember when ancient Israel had become idolatrous and they'd fallen into sin. They were commanded to turn from their sin and destroy all their idols. And once they had repented of their sin and gotten rid of the idols or the false gods or those things that they put in their heart before God. 1 Samuel 7:3, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, the prophet Samuel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your heart for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines or the enemies. What's going to happen? If we will obey the Lord, put away those things that he says get rid of, then the Lord will intervene and deliver you from your enemy. That's how it works. Otherwise, you can go around and rebuke. But until you get your heart right, in the right position with God, and you get rid of the idols, amen, the enemy is going to continue to torment you. Is this making sense? So overcoming sin is only possible when I'm no longer trusting in myself or in my own power. It's a truth war. What you believe will determine what you receive. What you receive will determine how you live and what you receive in life as well. In Romans 6:11, it says, likewise, reckon or consider yourself what to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is speaking again of the victory of Jesus on the cross. The sin problem has been dealt with already. Amen. So what we need to do is come into agreement with the truth that I am no longer a slave to sin. Jesus has set me free. I consider myself dead to sin, but alive unto God now. So the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I can bear fruit. Amen. Because I'm relying upon the grace of God every day and I'm not dwelling on my sin. God has already taken care of the sin problem. If a person sins, what do? We run to the only one that can forgive. Amen. We ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. Settle it right there. It was settled at the cross. Amen. But don't live your life defeated. Don't live your life in bondage. Amen. To the lie that somehow God has not forgiven you, that God has not accepted you, that God does not care about you or love you. Don't listen to that devil anymore. It was God's idea for the cross. It was God first loving us. God who gave himself for us to demonstrate his love for us, to liberate us from, amen, that prison that we were in and bring us into sonship. We're now the sons and daughters, amen, of the Most High God. We're no longer slaves to sin. So we need to control our thought life and what we do in our soul. Submit your body and your soul to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to finish with this, morning because I can go on further, but I'm going to finish with this today. If we are denying our fleshly desires daily and living dead to sin, then the devil has no place to operate in us, right? Or through us. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. And what that means is does not make a practice of sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Because I have been set free by the power of God, amen, by the blood of Jesus, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a son, and I've been given the authority to enforce that in my life. Amen. The devil is not going to be given any permission to operate in my life through compromise. It's my choice. We have to decide who we're going to serve every day. Amen. Who we're going to listen to, who we're going to submit ourselves to. If you want God's liberty, his freedom, amen, and the abundance of life that he promises you, amen, then you're going to have to obey the voice of God. You're going to have to submit yourself to obey God. And then the devil will have no place in you. So people who have this divine nature in them do not continually practice sin. Why? Because once again, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now this is talking again about a true believer who denies his or her flesh and will not allow that part, amen, to rule over them anymore. Because you've been set free from the power of that. And you have now the greater one living on the inside of you. And his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is more than enough. Yes, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. I can live a holy life because I'm free from the power of sin. Amen. I can live right because God is in me. And he gives me the ability to live right. And if I stumble along the way, I immediately go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he does. Get back up, get back in the race. Amen. Don't allow that devil to beat you down and lie to you anymore. He wants you to doubt what Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah. Well, I just love this. When Jesus stood up in the temple as a young man and he opened to the book of Isaiah and he read Luke, this is in Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to liberate all who are under Satan's dominion. You can be free from Satan today. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Or a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. See, when you sing that song, you're aligning yourself with truth. Amen. And the grace of God is released through the word. Amen. That you receive. That you put your faith in. I believe God has already set me free. I believe that the power of sin is broken in my life. I believe that the power of Satan is broken in my life. I believe I am a child of God. I don't believe I'm a slave to sin any longer. Amen. And if you're still a slave to sin, God wants you liberated today. He wants you to come free from the power of Satan. Amen. He doesn't want you to be under the bondage of anything except Christ. A bondservant to the Lord. There are many people, maybe here today, but there are many people who are bound by the devil and they don't know how to be free. They try. There are many people who try to live right, try to do right, but can't. Because truth be known, apart from Christ, you and I are incapable of living right. You need to come to Jesus. And give your life to Jesus so that the power of sin and the power of Satan will be broken in your life and you become a new creation, born again, born of the Spirit. Amen. Become a child of God. People need the Lord. People need to know that there is liberty in the Lord. There is freedom in Jesus. Amen. And that the Lord came for that very reason, to destroy, to untie, to loosen, amen, the bonds of Satan and set captives free. You and I have been authorized to go in Jesus' name to enforce it in our own life and in the life of others around us. People need to hear the truth. They need to know what God has done for them and what he's making available to them through Christ. Hallelujah. Free at last. That's what it was like. Amen. When I was born again, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Hallelujah. He saved my soul and he made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Hallelujah. Start declaring the word, the truth. Align yourself. Agree with what God said. Amen. If the thought you get does not agree with the truth, it's a rogue thought. Take it captive. Cast it down. Amen. Speak to the hand, devil, I'm not. You don't have an audience here. Resist him. Amen. Stand your ground. Stand on the truth. Stand on the word. Amen. And he, after a while, he's going to realize he's wasting his time and he's going to flee from you. Amen. We just stand. Thank you for coming today and being a part. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. I thank you, Jesus, for your grace is sufficient. For we can do all things through you. But Lord, you are the strength of our life. And Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, we thank you that you promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Oh God, you said whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, my prayer today is that everyone here will be free. Free from the power of sin, free from Satan. Father, grant us the gift of repentance. Father, I pray that you'd wake up your church in America. Wake up your people throughout this nation. And bring, Lord, your people back to you. Forgive our sin and heal our land. Oh God, have mercy on us. We know, Lord God, what we're facing today is beyond anything we can do. It's going to require your divine intervention. So God, Most High God, Father in heaven, we ask you to have mercy upon America. Have mercy upon our children. And send, Lord God, an awakening. Lord, release your revival upon America, upon the church, to awaken the church from slumber, to break off the yoke of the oppressor, to liberate your people, Lord God, that we will repent and we will come clean and we will do what's acceptable in your sight, that we will be in position to receive your favor and your blessing and, Lord, to have your freedom. Thank you, Lord God, for all you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you for you are willing to go to the cross for us, Lord. Thank you for setting us free today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God Most High, we want to see our children saved, sanctified, filled with your Holy Spirit, and serving you. We want to see our children activated by the power of the Spirit and out about and ministering to their peers at school and bringing the gospel into their homes. And Lord, we want to see salvation in our land, healing and deliverance in our land. In Jesus' name, Lord, we decree there will be righteousness and peace and joy in our hearts, in our homes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been defeated. And you are Lord. And our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, on Christ the solid rock we stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. We believe you. We believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. God, my prayer is that you'd grant us the gift of repentance. Lord, in the areas where maybe we have compromised, I pray that you grant us grace, Lord, to repent from our hearts and turn away from those idols. Lord, we pray that you topple every idol in our hearts. Bring down every high thing that would exalt itself against you, against the truth. Crush Satan under our feet. And liberate every captive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. God wants to have fellowship with you today. But you have to open the door and let him in. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Just lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, if I have sinned, please forgive me and deliver me from the enemy of my soul. I welcome you, Lord, into my heart. Be Lord over all of me. I surrender my body, my soul, and my spirit to you. Keep me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.